We're going to talk to you today about God's power to change. It's just real important to know that God is interested in transformation. Yeah. And that's, we are too. Our lives being transformed. That's why God left us here. And so we would have this season, this period of time, to where true transformation, change, can happen in our lives. Now, the odd thing about it, it takes my cooperation. I know we want to leave everything to God. We want God to just take it and zap us, you know. We look at that little stardust and a little whomp, we changed. But God doesn't do it like that. God works with cooperation. He works with your heart. He works with your soul. Let me take another family thing I need to do. No choir Monday night. Erica, you thought I forgot, didn't you? I almost did, girl. No choir Monday night. But God works in us, with us, changing us. And God's not building robots. God's building children with this sense of love like unto our Heavenly Father. And so God's business of is Him transforming us. That's the greatest business He has. A lot of times we think, you know, what does a believer do? We change. And our change convinces the world that God loves them. I know we become so politically concerned. And certainly we all are concerned politically. But that's not the strongest message we have. The strongest message we have is, look what God did in me. Look what God did in you. Yes. It's the process of change. That's the strongest message that we have. And it is be the ultimate message so that other people will see God changing us. And then they will know that God cares about them. And they will know that God can change them. And see, what happens is, we come to the Lord. And then we get spiffed up. We put on the right tie, or, well, I'm odd to them wearing a tie. I usually don't do that, you know that. But what it is, so many times, we don't want other people to know what we were. I want everybody to know what I was so that they can see the change, how much God loves me and how much God loves them and loves you. Amen? How many of you have been radically changed by the power of God? Jump up and give the Lord a shout. Been radically changed by the power of God. Yes. Yes. And that's to be a message to all the rest of you that need God to move in your life now. That's to be a message to let others to receive that. If God did it for them, He can do it for me. I love that old song. It is no secret what God can do. Because what He's done for others, He can do for you. I love that. Because it's the simplicity of the gospel. Of what God does for you, God's telling me He'll do it for me. Amen. And what God does for me, He said. So God is in the process of change. Now, during the process, we've been selling a book here for the last 2 months for you to read along with us during this series of messages. And it's the power, God's Power to Change Us by Rick Warren. And how many have been blessed by that book? So many people have really told me how much they have been so blessed by that book. Well, we come in and out of it, and we put the little Holy Ghost twist on it. But it's just real important to know that across this world, people recognize this. This is what God is up to. God is up to transforming my life. Now, Genesis chapter 4, verse 7 says, "You will be accepted if you do what is right. If you refuse to do what is right, then watch out." Ooh, strong message. But the next part. Sin is crouching at the door, eager to control you. But you must subdue it. Notice what it says. You must subdue it and be its master. I want to talk to you today about mastering your emotions. It's just a real power. It's the two powerful tools that God gives us to transform our life. One of the powerful tools, Stephen talked about it last Sunday, and that's the power of thoughts. How God's put you in a place of control. Now, I'm amazed at how many of the world thinks they have no power over their thoughts. And people come to me all the time, I can't make myself. Well, you got to learn that through the power of God, the God working in you, you can come to a place to master your thought life. And then I also want you to know that God can bring you to a place to master your emotions. Now the very people that say, I don't have any emotions, usually are the people that get the angriest, are because really and truly, we're pushed around by our emotions. Right now, you're sitting in this service and you're probably sitting by people that you either believe they love you or believe they don't. And you're mad if they, you don't believe it, if you don't. Somebody said, well, I don't feel like they love me. Or I don't feel like I'm going to come through this. Or I don't feel like I'm going to make it. And all of that, we're just pushed. We're like a pinball machine that hits all these bumpers and we're just pushed around by our emotions. It's God's will to master our emotions. Because we'll talk about in a few minutes what God wants to do with them. But it's just real important to know that God has given you the power. God's given you the power to master those emotions. Because unless you do, they will master you. And they will always keep you in a stage of unhappiness. Because see, today, you will feel good. And then tomorrow, you will feel like things are bad. Today, you feel like God's working that out. But tomorrow, you're going to get up. And you'll feel like, well, I'm not sure that I felt right yesterday. See? What happens is our faith literally is destroyed or built. Because God's intention was for our emotions to be mastered. And Him being the master, then He could direct those emotions. It's really what the Bible calls spiritual warfare. It's mastering those emotions. James chapter 4, verse 7 says, submit yourself therefore to God. And resist the devil. Two powerful tools that God gives us for transformation. But they all include me. I have to do something. I have to do something. I'm work with God in this process. I have to submit to God. His way of thinking. His way of dealing with things. See, transformation tells me that I'm change. I change the way I see life. I change the way I do life. I change the way I feel about people. I change the way I feel about finances or think about finances. I change about the way I feel about my job. Transformation means that God is working in me to transform my view of everything in my life. Now see, some of you thought you were good when you came to God. You didn't realize you was a scoundrel. You didn't realize that, see. And so we brag about, well, I'm always, I don't trust those kind of people. I don't feel good about them. This thing just bothers me. Oh, I can deal with this, but I can't deal with that. Aren't you glad to be your own God? And need no surrender? Need no development in your life? When it's the will of God that I master my emotions through His power. Now, we talk about it, we call it the war within. Well, there's other wars that's taking place. One is the world around me. It's a war. Man, the world around you is trying to transform you into them. They're trying to tell you how to think about politics. They're trying to tell you how to think about schools. They're trying to tell you how to think about people. This world around you is constantly trying to force you into changing just like them. See, nobody wants to be wrong by themselves. And I'll tell you, the world is wrong. Now, you may can pick out parts that you think, I'll tell you, the world is wrong. The world is anti-God. So, you've got this pressure that's going on around you, but not only around you, you've got something coming against you, and it's Satan. Satan is coming against you. Now, some of you, one time, a person got saved, and he was one of the college professors out here, and he came to the Lord, and so he developed, he was an older man, and he developed his long view, his attitude toward the devil. And so when he got saved, he didn't realize that he needed to change that view. And so we were sitting in a coffee place one day. We were drinking coffee, talking with each other about the Lord. And all of a sudden I said something about the devil. He said, shoo, be quiet. Don't say that out loud. Don't say that out loud. What's wrong with you? He's the enemy. Amen. But see, God's in this process of changing us. Now, the Bible says that strictly the devil comes to steal, kill, and destroy. So whatever's happening good in your life, the devil is there to try to mess it up. He doesn't want you to have a good life. He wants you to have a bad life. He doesn't want you to have a happy life. He wants you to have a sad life. He doesn't want you to have a victorious life. He wants you to have a defeated life. And so in all this process, you've got to determine, I've got to stand against the devil then. But the biggest problem is what's going on in me. And inside me, there is a battle. Romans chapter 7, verse 22 points this out. It says, I love God's law with all my heart. We say, wow, make him a deacon. He loves God with all his heart. Wow, that's where we all want to be. But then the next verse is there. Next verse says, but there is another power that's going on within me. That is at war against my mind. Now, Stephen talked so beautifully last week about how that the devil tries to control your thoughts. And the process is so what you allow the enemy to put in your thought life becomes your attitude and becomes a stronghold. I'm going to tell you what, it's hard to change a stronghold, but you can do it through the power of God. Many of you have strongholds of how you feel about illness. Many have strongholds how you feel about marriage. What it is, the enemy has developed this chain of thoughts that you've somewhere in the process of life, you've accepted as your thoughts. He's connected them together, and now they're an attitude and have an tremendous emotion that is released through them. In fact, this emotion can be released where you don't even have to think the thoughts anymore. A lot of people say, I don't know why I'm sad, I'm just sad. I don't know why I'm mad, I'm just mad. You know, because what that is, we've allowed the enemy to master us through our emotions. Instead of realizing Jesus is to be king there also. Amen. Or it said, all right, there's another war within my mind. This power makes me a slave. What's this? Inside me, there's a battle going on. Although I love God with all my heart. That was the verse before. But now there's something in me that's trying to take control of me. And it's trying to make me a slave to sin. And that's why some of us become comfortable with our sin. Because, see, we think everybody else is fighting us just like we are. And the truth of the matter is, it's not that way. Not only is there a heart in you that loves God, there is also a side of you that's trying to bring you under the control of things that you don't want to be in your life. But I'm so thankful. I'm so thankful that Paul did not stop after Romans chapter 7. In fact, in the Bible, when it was originally written, it was, you know, there were no chapters and verses. I know you think they're holy, and I know you, but they were put there by man. It was just one continual reading. So what we read is 7 and 8 is just the ongoing process or the chain of thought that's working here. Romans chapter 7 says, but I can't help myself because I'm no longer doing it. He says, it's stronger than I am. And maybe this is you. You feel like, man, this battle is winning on the inside of me. And so what happens is we move into seclusion with it. And we begin to hide it. And then it's not long till we begin to feel shame. And then we feel dirty. Because literally, one thing we know. We can't do it by ourselves. Now, a lot of you have really tried, men. If anybody should get a reward for effort, it's been you. Some of you have really tried. You mustered all the willpower that you could. You mustered it all up and tried your best to push that thing back. And every time, the very times you thought you were fighting, it just unleashed more. Inside you. It describes two things. Romans chapter 7 does. What will happen if I do it in my own effort? Or what will happen if I try to do it in my willpower? I'm no match for the enemy in my flesh. I'm no match for the enemy with my willpower. So God has to bring me to another place of dealing with this war. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 3 says, we are human, but we don't wage war like humans. We don't do it the same way. And some of us have been doing it the same way for many, many years. I mean, same way, same routine. The thing comes up, we try to beat it down, it overpowers us, and then we get ashamed. Same thing over and over and over again. But the Bible says we can't wage war like other people do, or like humans do. We use something different. Somebody say, we use something different.
We use something different.
You know, Brill Cream is just a little different, isn't it? We wage war in a different kind of power. We use God's mighty weapons to knock down strongholds. Somebody that's got a stronghold to knock down, I just want you to stand up and shout one more time. If you've got a stronghold that you want to see that thing broken, go ahead. I want you to shout out for God. Now, well, the Bible says that we use God's mighty weapons, not those made by man, to knock down the devil's strongholds. We destroy every proud obstacle that keeps people from knowing God. We capture those rebellious thoughts. Somebody says, Pastor, I've tried. It just didn't work. But that's why God gave us Romans chapter 8. That the story did not stop with Romans chapter 7. Romans chapter 7 said, I've tried. I've tried to quit it. I've tried to stop it. I've tried to stomp it out. I've tried to be different, but it comes up the same thing every time. I get mastered by the very thing that I'm trying to master. Ezekiel says it like this. He said, I know every thought that comes into your mind. But we've got to know, God wants change in my life. If you're here this morning and you've been mastered by the enemy, I'm here to tell you, honey, the story's not over. God's not through with you or for you. And God doesn't want you to live the rest of your life in that kind of defeat. You hang with God, He's going to hang with you. God's going to bring you through this. And God's going to teach you and train you how to lean. The answer to Romans chapter 7 is Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8 says, you can't do it, but the Holy Spirit can do it in you. Amen. Somebody says, but Jerry, I have the Holy Spirit. I gave my heart to the Lord, and I know that. And others feel like that you moved on. I've been filled with the Holy Spirit. And you say, but Jerry, I don't. What we haven't learned is how to receive from the Holy Spirit. And the process of your change is going to come as you learn not to lean on your flesh. Amen. But God's going to, somebody say, God's going to help me.
God's going to help me.
Learn to lean. And to receive from the Holy Spirit. Because the Holy Spirit has the power. Amen. Romans chapter 12 verse 2 says, don't be conformed to the world, but be transformed. It's God's will. Notice this is a command. This is not a request. The Lord says, be transformed, be changed. If Jesus is in your heart, God has a word for you. Be changed. But I'm here to tell you, God will never, ever, 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 ever tell you to do anything that He's not willing to empower you to do it. If God has told you to do anything, then God is willing. Somebody says, well, what's happened? What's happened is this. Because we allow our emotion to control us, we grew discouraged before we found out how to receive from the Holy Spirit. See, it's important that the Holy Spirit not only direct you and guide you, but it's important that we learn how to let the Holy Spirit empower us for life. Can you say amen?
Amen.
You can't handle this life, but God can. You can. God's not in the business of teaching you how to do it better. God is in the business of empowering you to do it through His power. Amen. There's two things that has to take place in my transformation. One thing is I have to learn to change my mind. I got to allow the Holy Spirit to learn to take a hold of my mind. Not just thoughts. Take control of my mind. The process of a series of thoughts has now developed attitudes in my mind toward things. I think I can't quit smoking. I think I can't quit being angry. I think I can't. All those processes is determined by the enemy. They put those processes there and release them. We've just got to know God, by His Holy Spirit, is going to help me to change my thinking. Amen. Next thing He's going to help me do, He's going to help me to change how I feel. God wants every person here to experience full joy. God wants every person here to be able to experience rejoicing. God doesn't want you living sad one day and mad the next day. God doesn't want you to be discouraged one day and depressed the next. God doesn't want you to get up like you can hang the moon one day and feel like you're totally defeated the next. God wants to change that. But you've got to have some faith in God. Now, everything that you receive from God is going to come out of your faith level. You've got to begin to believe God to release God, to release Him on the inside of you. So the truth of the matter is, God wants to change me. And if I'll work with God, God will change me. Amen. All right. God's power to master my emotions. Somebody that feels like that you're mastered by your emotion, why don't you just take that right hand. Why don't you reach it up toward the Lord and say, God, I'm believing You. I'm believing You to empower me to master my emotions. I'm tired of living discouraged. I'm tired of living down. See what it is. As long as the devil can keep you controlled by your emotions, then he's controlling your faith. In fact, if you're controlled by your emotions, you don't have faith. You have feeling. And the enemy's taken those feelings and he's controlling your destiny with it. If you want to turn things around, you've got to make a war. And that war has to be with the things that have controlled you in the past. And one of the major issues that tries to control every one of our lives is our emotions. But in the name of Jesus, that can topple too. In the name of Jesus, God can master that has tried to master me. Now, 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 18 says this, and the Lord, who is the Spirit, makes us more and more like Him. That's what Jesus wants to do. The reason He wants to master our emotions, the reason He wants to change the way we think, is because it brings us being more like Him. See, I want you to know, today we serve an emotional God. Somebody said, I just want to wipe my emotions out. No, you don't. No, you don't either. The greatest joys will come out of the emotional areas of your life. The greatest happiness that you have. What God wants them to do is to be redeemed. God wants to work and help you to master them to where they no longer master you and try to create your future, but where you're able to master them through the power of God. Amen. So the Lord's going to help us do that. Now, makes us more and more like Him. That's what He does. Did you know that this morning, God is extremely caught up in emotions? Did you know that? Do you know the Lord today, He's just wildly in love with you? Do you know that? I'll tell you something else. Do you know what God's doing right now? What God is doing right now, the Bible said He is in heaven rejoicing over you. Because He believes you're going to break that thing. He believes you're going to change. He believes that you're going to come through that thing. And right in heaven now, God is wildly caught up into emotions. Because I'll tell you what, emotions release that happy joy, that happy fluid into your life. Now, what we want to do is master those wrong emotions. But some people say, you know, I want to know what I want to do. I just want to do away with anger completely. Anger's destroyed my life. Well, let me tell you what anger will do to you. If you've allowed anger to control. So I said, I just can't control my anger. Or I said, that makes me mad every time. Boy, it's hard being your own God, isn't it? And so what you come to a place where you want to yield it to the presence of the Lord. Now, what God wants to do, what problem is this? Because we're mastered, it tells us who to be mad at. It tells us who to be angry with. So we get angry with her. We get angry with him. We get angry with what happened. We get angry with our boss. We get angry. So what happens is, all that juice that God's put in us So he can direct our anger in a way that will help our life. We're using it up. We're burning that candle at both ends. Using it up against people that will not be able, that will keep us from changing. The process like this. How many know that God hates? You know what God hates? He hates evil. And what we want to do, so we want to come, we want to do away with all of it. No, what we got to do is master it. Once we master it, then we let God direct it. See, some of you, your problem is not her. Your problem is not him. Your problem is not in those kids. Your problem is the devil. And until you finally see where the real battle is, you're going to never, ever win that. But the moment that you see where the real battle is, and then you restrain your life through the power of the Holy Spirit, you restrain that anger and you begin to release that anger toward that filthy devil that caused you all those problems. That's what God, listen, unless you can move in spiritual directed anger, you'll never be any fit in the spiritual warfare. Amen. God's got to be able to direct you. God's got to be able to bring it and direct you into hating evil. You're going to keep committing things that you don't hate. But I'm going to tell you what, once you quit hating people and you start hating evil, all of a sudden you will find no problem with quitting whatever. Because what's the problem is this. What you're holding on to is what you love. But what if you will allow God to direct you, direct your emotion in the right way, you'll begin to hate that very thing that's tried to hold you bondage. And when you hate it, there's a strength in you to fight it. And God releases that anger in you to win it for the glory of God. You know, a lot of times people think I'm meek, or they think I'm weak. And they'll say, you know, Brother Jerry, do you ever get excited? Have you ever seen me in prayer? Have you ever seen me enter into a time of war? See, I had to learn a long time ago, my anger was so misdirected. Had to learn so a long time ago, my anger, as long as the devil can keep you angry at somebody, he's got you defeated. But the very moment that you learn and allow the Holy Spirit to empower you to no longer let the devil use against you what God gives you to destroy the devil with. And then all of a sudden you allow the Lord to direct it. See, some of you, you're tied up in bondage. And God wants you to arise in anger against that lousy devil that's tried to destroy your life. Some of you are so tied up in the situation, so tied up in the worry, so tied up in unbelief. You're so sad from discouragement. Somebody said, well, you would be discouraged too if you had to face what I did. Honey, I don't have to face, but I do have to face what I do. But what you got to know is this. What the devil has used to control you and to stop your miracles from happening in your life is he simply had you face a doctor's visit, had you face face a child's rebellion, you've had faith, and you allowed that feeling of discouragement to come in and steal your faith. At the very time that God needed you to trust him, you find sadness. You've got to make a war going on inside you. And you've got to say, I'm tired of being sad and mad at the wrong things. I'm determined I'm changing. And I'm changing by the blowing the power of the Holy Spirit. There's got to be a sense of joy. In fact, the Bible tells us to face everything with joy. Amen. Somebody says, are you really living in this life? That's what the Word of God directs us to do. The Word of God directs us to face everything in joy. And the devil knows just how to bring the right circumstance, the right situation to steal all of your joy. And before you know it, when God needs you to be the strongest and to believe him the most, you're running tail with that spirit of sadness and discouragement. But God's going to help us. Everybody say, God's going to help us. God's going to empower us to allow the Holy Spirit. Now, one thing, your emotions. Everybody's got an emotional thermometer. Yeah, all of us do. And the Lord allows it to be that. Because when I get angry at you, that lets me know I'm believing something wrong. I've got a stronghold in me that's got to come down. If you can make me sad, if you can make me depressed, if you can shun me a little bit and cause me to become insecure, that is a thermometer inside of me telling me that there's something that's controlling me that's not God. Because I'm going to tell you what, honey. I don't really care whether you like me or not. Long as He loves me, that's all that matters. Amen. And there should be a release. God expects you. You can't go through this life without battles. But God expects us to face that battle with faith. And if you're being controlled by your emotions, you can't have faith when God needs you to have faith the most. So you got to get a handle on that thing. You got to begin to master that goes against God. God says, who said that you were going to die? Well, the doctor said, who said that you were going to die? Don't you know I'm your God? Who says this marriage is over? Who says, don't you know I'm God? Who said that? Who says I can't change her? Who says I can't change him? Who says I can't turn that around? Amen. And we sit there and allow ourselves to be so mastered by past lies that we believed. And the devil knows exactly how to push our button. And the very moment that you become a real threat to the devil, the very moment you become a real threat to the devil, he pushes that button. And before you know it, you're discouraged. You're down. You're sad. You hear? See, some people believe. I'm going to tell you, it's not right theology. Well, God's will is going to be done. I'm here to tell you, I'm going to give you a shocker this morning. Very little of what God wants to happen happens on earth. Very little. Very little happens that's in God's will. If you think those little kids getting raped is God's will, if you think those thousands of girls that's been sold into slavery is God's will, if you think those thousands that will die today from lack of, from hunger and from lack of food, if you think that's God's will, God's will happens when somebody believes. When somebody is saying, Lord, I believe the power of God in heaven is stronger than the corruption of this earth. And when, and it starts out with you believing you, and you believing in your family, and you're believing in your city, and whatever there it starts. But God's, for God's will has been, I know we all quote that classic verse, and that verse just happens to be in Romans chapter 8. Which the full point of Romans chapter 8 gives answer to Romans chapter 7. Romans chapter 7 says, I can't do anything. I love God, but my life is a mess. Romans chapter 8 comes in and says, if you will begin to allow my spirit to move in your life, my spirit will overpower those things that's robbing you. That's what the whole of it says. It concludes with this, verse 27, some of the conclusion. It says, and because you allow the Holy Spirit to intercede through you, because you allow the Holy Spirit to pull down those negative things in you, because you allow the Holy Spirit to be the controlling and no longer emotionally controlled, and as you allow the Holy Spirit to take control of your life, then you can know that all things. But we forget that first part of that verse. And we lean only on the last part. If you want to know God's will is taking place in your life, in your family, and in your circumstances, somebody's got to believe. Somebody has got to be the one that said, Lord, I'll believe you more than I believe these emotions that I feel. And some people are so controlled, you can't believe anything other than what you feel. That's why most time you don't feel loved. That's why you feel like people are mad at you. I don't feel like I'm a part. You can't let feelings. I'm going to tell you what. Can I get just a little bit political right here? Just a quick minute. I know politics is not the answer. Any little lady on her prayer knees is more powerful than any politician in the world.
Amen.
Amen. But because people have been told they can't master their emotions, that's why the problem comes in the transgender area. There is not a person here that at some time you felt like you didn't fit. And if you gave way to that, you wouldn't be sitting in this church right now. You would not stay in the family that you're in. But what we come to a place to determine, I'm not what I feel. I'm what I believe. Amen. And you make a stand against those emotions. I'm going to tell you, emotions are developed over a period of time. We're closing. Don't have time much to talk about this. We'll talk about it other times. Emotions are developed over a period of time. They're not. Emotion doesn't come out of one thought. It comes out of a chain of thought that has developed into a stronghold. And those strongholds are there even though you don't even think you're thinking it at the time. I just feel mad. I just feel sad. Are developed over a period of time. God's going to help you by the power of the Holy Spirit working in you. You just hadn't realized God gave it to you for power. You think God just gave me this Holy Spirit for a good little feeling, dance a little jig every now and then. God gave it to you for power. That when you're the weakest, He's the strongest. And where those emotions that's tried to control you all your life and led you into defeat thousands of times, God's going to give you the power to, number one, mark it. This is not a feeling that I should have. This is not from God. And you're going to begin to mark it. The next time you begin to feel that discouragement, somebody said, I'm a worry wart. Leave me alone. 42 times the New Testament, I believe, tells you not to worry. Aren't you tired of being your own God? The Lord would never, ever tell you to do anything without giving you the power to do it. The same God that called you to Himself, He says, be full of love. He says, be full of joy. He says, don't worry. The same God, He would never, ever tell you to do anything that He's not willing to empower you with the strength to do it. The problem is, we just hadn't got that valve turned on yet. Don't you hate it when you go into a restroom out somewhere and you go to the lavatory and you start twisting knobs? One side don't work. It's the warm side, so you have to wash in cold water all the time. That's what we've been doing, man. The devil trained us well. We turn on the wrong one and nothing comes out. But God's going to help us.
Amen.
God's going to help us. And God's going to help us to learn to receive from Him. That when I'm the weakest, then He's the strongest. Amen.